Welcome to Tea, Toast, and Trivia. Thank you for listening in. I am your host, Rebecca Budd, and I am looking forward to sharing this moment with you. Join me as I travel virtually to Wadebridge, a town in North Cornwall, England, to meet up with writer, artist, and global life coach, Mary Lunan. I first met Mary through a mutual friend and frequent guest on Tea, Toast, and Trivia, Liz Humphreys. Liz shared three rediscovery cards in an Instagram post. These rediscovery cards are used by Mary for guided meditation and reflection. Dare to Blossom Life Coaching with Mary is based around the principle of rediscovering our inner wisdom and awakening to a sense of well-being. She has recently published her book, Your Compass Rose Speaks, Rediscover Your Inner Wisdom, which is a culmination of her work over the last 20 years since establishing Dare to Blossom Life Coaching in 2003. It's time to put the kettle on and add to this exciting conversation. Welcome, Mary. Thank you for joining me today.
It's lovely to be here again.
It's always lovely to have you, Mary. We have an exciting discussion because we are going to go deep into what it means to be us. What does it mean to have an inner journey?
And I think it's individual, because what you mean by it or understand by an inner journey will probably, possibly be different to how I understand it and experience it. It's a sacred thing for me. It comes from dream time, it comes from visualization, it comes from dreaming in the awake time about what we want to achieve in the world and how we want to be. And there's something about letting go of the mind that tries to control everything and plan and make things happen, and the mind that just allows things to flow and all those beautiful ideas just appear apparently out of nowhere very often.
Do we need time to percolate ideas, or do ideas just float up to us?
I think both, actually. The ones that need that time and that richness of distilling is the word I often use, actually percolating as well. Distilling of ideas that come up as one sort of floating by thought. But if you sit with them for a while and allow them to float up and be with them as an entity that's come into your life, ideas have got a life of their own very often.
You have always mentioned stories. How can stories help us practice self-awareness and mindfulness?
I think it goes back to the earliest childhood. I was fortunate to be in a family where my parents read me stories before I could read myself. But something about the stories that we tell ourselves, the stories that we hear, those universal themes that come up everywhere around the world about discovery and growing up.
Do we each have a story? And is that story important?
Yes, definitely. I mean, I see our individual stories as a thread in the weave of the universe. I've always seen it as far as I can remember. Our story is part of who we are, and we can change it. So it's almost a paradox there. There's the essential story of our being, and there's the stories that I may tell myself at different times in my life. And I tell to others, which may be the same thing, and they may well not be the same thing. There's something about that weaving of story. I've been looking into this a lot because the sort of new piece of writing I'm thinking about doing is very much about a different sort of memoir and what people call creative nonfiction, if you've come across that expression. In terms of memoir, it's about telling your story of your life in a way that's a story and it's creative, but it's not being creative with the facts of the things that have happened to you, but it's being creative in the way that you tell it, in the way that it weaves into a story and becomes something that then has a message for other people. And I think that's why I share my story, and I think why most people do, really. They feel there's a connection there with other people and simply by sharing. And we all do it automatically anyway. If you sit down, with somebody on a train you've never met before, very often you just suddenly hit it off and end up sharing your life story by the time you reach the destination. I know I do it.
Do you think that when we share our story, we create a sense of belonging, not only to the other person, but to the world around us?
Yes. And I think the journey through our lives is about that journey of belonging and finding where we find that and how we feel it. Maybe that's why a lot of us enjoy travel, is that going to a strange place that's new to us helps us see ourselves differently and helps us see ourselves in a way that's more clear and reveals new things you may not have noticed before or understood before.
You indicate in your book, Your Compass Rose Speaks, that there are ways in which individuals engage in activities that promote personal growth and discovery. Could you comment on this? Because I know you have spent years bringing this information together, and now you're offering it in a book, and I would like to talk about that.
Well, thank you. Yes, I have spent years bringing it together, and I think I used that word distillation just now. And that's how I see this book, as a distillation of all that work over a long period of time. Looking at it now, it's probably the story of my life in some ways. It's brought all those things together. One of the advantages of advancing slightly in age is that I can look back and see how I got to where I am now. Along the way, some of the ups and downs of the journey meant I couldn't see where I was going or even where I'd come from sometimes. There's something about sharing that with others and being able to offer just a companionship along the way, I see it as. You know, these are some of the things I've used and some of the ways I've found that have really helped me.
We find connection through conversations. And sometimes those conversations bring out things that we didn't even know we had inside us. How does that work?
I mean, that's really the joy of all the work I do with people, whether it's one-to-one life coaching, in a more formal sense, and whether it's in the groups of people who come along to experience the way as I work now, which is very intuitive and taking people on the magic carpet rides it mentions in the book. But there's something about putting something into words which you've only maybe felt as a feeling or a vague image inside when you're just not really aware of it, or maybe going on a magic carpet ride, but even then not aware of it. Being prompted to put it into words and articulate it brings it into a different form. It becomes a story. It becomes something that you can take and look at. And the fact that you're sharing it with somebody else and they're able to bond perhaps or witness for you is something that brings a different awareness that you're experiencing and describing.
The idea of witnessing, to be a witness, that's profound. How do you witness someone else's journey? What is it to be a witness?
What it is for me is to be with somebody. The key thing about it is it's non-judgmental. Whatever is present there is their experience and true for them in that moment. It's not for me to make judgments upon that from my own individual experience. Occasionally, I might offer an insight or an intuition to somebody just as a question. So, have you thought of it this way? Have you experienced this? Very rarely, usually, it's just sitting in that particular sort of listening, which is quite different. Most of us, and I know I do, go through my daily life barely really hearing what other people say and not listening. Partly the pressures of modern life, you know, the radio's on or the television's on, and somebody else is trying to speak to you, and you're trying to think. Quite often, none of it is heard very clearly. But when I'm in a place when I'm witnessing for somebody and listening, to me, when we're in a group together, we all offer that for each other. It's that quality of attention that makes a very special experience.
When we go through a day, you're right, we are bombarded with, look at me, see me, think about me, whether it's through social media or through our daily lives. How do we disconnect from that when we are so busy?
For me, it's being in nature, being out on my beloved cliffs here in Cornwall, being out in our veggie garden, ready for the season to grow on and produce for us, and that's been beautiful too. Just being absorbed in the moment of being out in nature and not feeling separate from it. That's where it takes me, and really enjoy it. All those thoughts in my head that I'm running through, as we all do. The wind was very cold this morning when I was out. The sun was shining. It was very blustery and just glorious. And I was out there watching the full Mars flying on the cliffs and deforming its somersaults, as it was quite rough. Well, that's like a normal word for the sea, deforming somersaults.
I like somersaults. How do you help people quiet their soul, their mind, their being?
Various ways I do that. And the ethos of the Compass Rose, it's a flow, it's a practice, it's something you keep repeating through your days, through your life. Keep you centered, as in the center point and being grounded and balanced, but also helping you step out into the world in all the directions whilst remaining true to yourself in that center point. It's different every time, but it's not a circular motion, it's a spiral. You go up and down the spiral and come round to the same place again from a different perspective. You're different. You learn different things. You experience different things. Come back again and again to the online six-week programs, which the book's based on. Often the theme's similar or the same. And I always say it's not a course. It's not somewhere you come to learn a specific skill, or you don't have to do assignments or keep deadlines or anything. It's just being present with yourself and present for each of us in the group. And that has its additional joys and pleasures, as well as the growth that we all experience when we do that. So if I'm in a group with people on Zoom, four or five people perhaps, I begin with what was the starting point for the whole of the book that you're referring to, Your Compass Rose Speaks. The poem that's at the beginning of that book, around which it's all based, that is, I open and close the circles with. I just speak those words, Compass Rose poem. For me, that helps me quiet my inner voice and quiet my soul, as you said, and just come back to that center point within where peace resides. It's amazing how powerful just those few words are.
Oh, I would love to hear the Compass Rose Speaks, the poem that begins it all.
The first thing you do is close your eyes and let your breathing settle and slow naturally, as it will do for you. And you'll hear the voice of your inner wisdom, your Compass Rose, as she speaks to you. Compass Rose speaks. I am your Compass Rose. My center point is peace, grounding, balancing. Look up, look north to your guiding star, your purpose. From the east comes the rising sun, passion, potential. South is the source of nature's powers, the flowing rivers, the rising tides, the ever-changing ocean. The wind that shapes the land, the power that is arising in you. West is the land of the setting sun, progressing forward into the night, anticipating the promise of a new day. Return your attention to your center point, to peace. Grounded, balanced, I am your Compass Rose.
Many thanks for sharing those words with us. There is a sense of peace and well-being. Your voice energizes the words. Mary, why is it important to set aside time for self-reflection and introspection?
For me, it's important because that connects me with the source. Other people may have other words for it, like the source of life, the source of all that is, the source of love. Having that time for quiet reflection. When I talk to myself in my journal, it has the same effect. And lots of people will have experienced that. If you have a journaling practice, I did and I still do, write things I didn't know I was thinking. Often I come round in a full circle back to being able to help myself see whatever the question is, the answer to whatever my question was, going back to that inner wisdom, which I believe we all have within us. I think we become disconnected from the source. You could call it your higher self as well. And that's what the Compass Rose is for me. It's a voice of my higher self. not so attached to day-to-day dramas and all those things that we have to deal with in our daily lives. You know, we're physical human beings living in this world. We need to find a way to navigate our way through it as best we can. That quiet time for reflection helps us realize there's a whole other world that we live in as well, that we're all part of greater consciousness, whatever you might think of it as.
Do you think that when we have this quiet time, we can respond in better ways to what is around us?
I think it's vital. A lot of people I've spoken to have said the same. If we don't have that quiet time, it's almost as if we use up all our battery power, if you like, and we can't really connect with what really matters. I know that quiet time and reflection is a beautiful balancing and antidote to the stress and the busyness of everyday life.
Mary, I enjoyed reading your Compass Rose. It's very, very good and very positive. How can other people obtain your book and experience the same joy that I did?
If you're in the UK, I have signed copies I could dedicate to you and send out to you. The book itself is available at the moment in print and ebook versions online in all the usual places. And there will be an audio book which is spoken in my voice.
This is more than just a book. This is a way to live. You have brought all of your knowledge, your experience, your insights into a book to help others.
Thank you. I'm glad you feel that way because I know how much my work with a small group helps them, and people tell me that. And it doesn't reach an enormous number of people that way. But what I hope for the book is that it will go out around the world and people will come across it and pick it up at the right time for them. I'm really positive and proud to have put all this work into one book because it took a long time and it's a distillation of a lot of years' experience and work and journeys of my own along the way.
Mary, this has been an extraordinary, extraordinary conversation. And I do hope you come back again.
I'd love to. I've really enjoyed it too. I love your questions and the way it takes me off into unexpected places and explorations. Thank you.
Would you read that beginning poem from your book, Your Compass Rose Speaks, Rediscover Your Inner Wisdom?
I am your compass rose. My center point is peace, grounding, balancing. Look up, look north to your guiding star, your purpose. From the east comes the rising sun, passion, potential. South is the source of nature's powers, the flowing rivers, the rising tides, the ever-changing ocean. The wind that shapes the land, the power that is arising in you. West is the land of the setting sun, progressing forward into the night, anticipating the promise of a new day. Return your attention to your center point, to peace, grounded, balanced. I am your compass rose.
Thank you for joining Mary and me on Tea, Toast, and Trivia. And a very special thank you, Mary, for sharing your insights on coaching, on seeking an inner wisdom, on embracing the unknown, and being open to possibilities. Listeners, I invite you to meet up with Mary on her website, Dare to Blossom, her Facebook page, and Instagram. I know you will be inspired by Mary's story and her dedication to living boldly within a complex, ever-changing world. And until next time we meet, dear friends, safe travels wherever your journey leads you.